In today's news headlines, the United States Senate on Tuesday began its inquiry into the January 6th Capitol riot of Trump supporters that claimed five lives and got within minutes of lawmakers who scrambled to escape the violent mob bent on ensuring Trump's continued reign. Among those who testified in the televised hearings were former security officers for the Capitol Police, who blamed federal law enforcement and the Justice Department for delays in sending in the National Guard and failing to anticipate the level of violence that was planned. Captain Carnisha Mendoza was among those who spoke.
I witnessed officers being knocked to the ground and hit with various objects that were thrown by rioters. Of the multitude of events I've worked in my nearly 19-year career in the department, this was by far the worst of the worst. We could have had 10 times the amount of people working with us, and I still believe the battle would have been just as devastating. As an American and as an Army veteran, it's sad to see us attacked by our fellow citizens.
Republicans, many of whom have remained firmly supportive of Trump, attempted to trivialize the serious nature of the attack. Among them, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin went as far as perpetuating the increasingly popular conspiracy theory that there were left-wing activists posing as Trump supporters.
Agents provocateurs, fake Trump protesters, and then disciplined, uniformed column of attackers. I think these are the people that probably planned this.
Senator Johnson failed to acknowledge that there have been hundreds of confirmed Trump supporters arrested and charged in connection to the riot who have spoken out openly about their loyalty to Trump. Tuesday was a busy day on Capitol Hill with several hearings taking place, including a confirmation hearing for Javier Becerra as the new Secretary of Health and Human Services. Republicans sought to paint Mr. Becerra as unqualified, ignoring the fact that Trump's last HHS secretary, Alex Azar, had no experience in the field of health other than being an executive at a pharmaceutical firm. Becerra has in the past expressed support for enacting a single-payer healthcare system in the United States. Several Republicans were worried about his respect for the, quote, sanctity of life, by which they refer to unborn fetuses rather than living human beings who may not have access to healthcare. Also facing a hearing before the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee was Congresswoman Deb Haaland of New Mexico, who's being considered to lead the Interior Department. If confirmed, Haaland would become the nation's first Indigenous Interior Secretary, a fact that she acknowledged in her opening statement.
This historic nature of my confirmation is not lost on me, but I will say it's not about me. Rather, I hope this nomination would be an inspiration for Americans moving forward together as one nation and creating opportunities for all of us.
But conservative Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia has expressed reluctance over supporting her. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called him out on Twitter, saying Jeff Sessions was so openly racist that even Reagan couldn't appoint him. Manchin voted to confirm him. Sessions then targeted immigrant children for wide-scale human rights abuses with family separation. Yet the first Native woman to be cabinet secretary is where Manchin finds unease. President Joe Biden's pick for Attorney General Merrick Garland also faced his second day of hearings. On Monday's hearing, he took the time to ensure senators he would not act as the president's lawyer, a direct reference to former Attorney General William Barr, who faced credible accusations of bending the Justice Department to Donald Trump's will. Republicans, by and large, appeared to support Garland, but writing in The Nation magazine, commentator Ellie Mistal pointed out that on Monday, GOP senators spent more time attacking the women of color that have been named to lower positions at the DOJ than Garland himself. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell testified to the Senate Banking Committee on Tuesday, where he asserted that the economic recovery from the pandemic, quote, remains uneven and far from complete, and the path ahead is highly uncertain. He added, quote, the economy is a long way from our employment and inflation goals, and it is likely to take some time for substantial further progress to be achieved. President Biden on Monday evening marked, with a White House ceremony, the great American tragedy of 500,000 deaths from the coronavirus, lighting candles to mark the largest national death toll of any country in the world. Biden alluded to the internal political turmoil in the U.S. as part of the problem.
We must end the politics and misinformation that's divided families, communities, and the country. It has cost too many lives already.
That's President Biden on Monday evening, marking 500,000 U.S. deaths from the coronavirus. Dr. Anthony Fauci, in an interview with Reuters, echoed a similar sentiment, saying he was shocked that, quote, a rich and sophisticated country can have the most percentage of deaths and be the hardest hit country in the world. And that in reference to the Trump administration, quote, the lack of involvement at the very top of the leadership in trying to do everything that was science-based was clearly detrimental to the effort. Representatives from vaccine manufacturers Pfizer, Moderna, and other companies faced questioning on Capitol Hill on Tuesday over the ongoing struggle to provide enough doses to meet the high demand in the U.S. Representative Diana DeGette, who heads the House Energy and Commerce Committee, said, quote, the most pressing challenge now is the lack of supply of vaccine doses, that she wanted to hear, quote, a straightforward assessment of where the manufacturing process stands. The company representative said they plan on being able to deliver 140 million more doses of the vaccine over the next 5 weeks. In news from Texas, where residents are still reeling from devastating winter storms, blackouts, and water shortages, Attorney General Ken Paxton is the latest Republican official found to be failing in his duties. Paxton jetted off to Utah while his state was experiencing its worst crisis in decades. Meanwhile, Senator Ted Cruz, who has earned the nickname Cancun Cruz for vacationing in Mexico during the outages, made an appearance on Fox News, where he, like Governor Greg Abbott, blamed the Green New Deal for the debacle. Texas has not enacted the GND, nor are green energy sources to blame. The first migrant detention center for children has opened under Biden. The emergency facility in Carrizo Springs, Texas, was built during Trump's term, but was only open for about a month in 2019. It is designed to hold up to 700 children between the ages of 13 to 17. According to the Washington Post, quote, immigration lawyers and advocates question why the Biden administration would choose to reopen a Trump-era facility that was a source of protests and controversy. Linda Brandmiller, a San Antonio-based immigration lawyer who represents unaccompanied minors, told the Post, quote, it's unnecessary, it's costly, and it goes absolutely against everything President Biden promised he was going to do. It's a step backward, is what it is. It's a huge step backward. Finally, this week marks the one-year anniversary of the vigilante killing of the black jogger Ahmaud Arbery. The 25-year-old man was allegedly killed by three armed white men who are now awaiting trial in his murder after a national outcry led to their arrest. Initially, police had interviewed the suspects but then let them go free, representing exactly the kind of racist double standard that Black Lives Matter activists decry. Arbery's killing predated the May 2020 police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, but it laid the groundwork for last summer's mass protests. On Tuesday, Arbery's mother filed a civil lawsuit against the men charged with killing her son. And that does it for our news headlines.